and welcome to Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us for worship today. Our Bible studies begin at 9 a.m. for all ages, followed by a service at 10:30 a.m., and then our evening discipleship service at 6:30 p.m. We are located at 14260 South Dixie Highway in Monroe, Michigan. Our phone number is 734-241-6860. You can also find more on our website, www.mmbconline.org. Here is a message from our senior pastor, Roy Sutherland.
Let me encourage you to find a copy of the scriptures. Turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. As we continue our journey through the book of 2 Timothy, we are rapidly coming to the close of this little epistle that is encouraging us through the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy to pass on, to prepare those who will follow us in our spiritual walk, who will follow us in ministry, who will follow us in our families, to prepare them for the life that is worthy to be called a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul, knowing that he is soon going to be dying, leaving this walk of life, is preparing Timothy to take up the mantle, to continue in the race, to be the next one who will be the link in the chain, who will be the one who will lead the way for others to follow after Christ. And that is the commandment that God has given all of us, each one of us. It's the responsibility of dads to be able to do that for their children, for their families, for moms as well, for brothers and sisters to lay a foundation for others in their family, for grandchildren who are coming after us, to be able to let them see in us what it was like to follow Christ and a worthy walk with the Lord, so that they too will remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. When we come to chapter 4, we're following right on the heels of last week, where at the end of chapter 3, Paul stressed to Timothy the importance, the necessity of the Word of God. And we tried to stress with you last week the importance of the Word of God. As a matter of fact, I was grateful for the boldness, the humility, and the boldness that God gave us to be able to challenge you on your responsibility of being in the Word of God, the necessity of having the Word of God daily in our lives, together studying the Word of God as families, studying the Word of God as small groups, in classes. If you do not do that, I can promise you, you will not be successful in this walk called Christianity. You will not. You say, Pastor, that is a bold statement. No, it's a biblical statement. There's a big difference. You will not. Without being consumed and saturating yourself with the Word of God. So Paul stressed to Timothy in chapter 3 the necessity of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that points us to the salvation of the Lord. It's the Word of God that is profitable to equip us as children of God, that helps us with reproof and with being able to give doctrine and for correction and instruction in righteousness. And so he moves out of that vein of thought, and he continues to help Timothy understand not only is it necessary for the Word of God to be a part of life, it is also necessary for there to be those who will proclaim and preach the Word of God. The necessity of the Word of God, but also the importance of the preachers of the Word of God. So this morning, I have to preach about me. That's a sad thing, isn't it? I have to talk about the preacher. Again, I cannot help in a little bit. As soon as I get through preaching, somewhere in the next 2 hours, something like that, Russ Bates is going to come and give a report from the pastor search team. I think it's very fitting that even though I did not know this, he'll be giving a report today on the heels of a message about preaching the Word of God. If you have looked at the job assignment, quote, the ministry assignment, for the next pastor, senior pastor for this church, there is a long list of responsibilities that are given there. As a matter of fact, when the team was putting together that to post that, there were all kinds of discussion about what do we expect of a pastor. I'm glad we didn't ask you. There would have been a long, exhaustive list, would it not? In chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, Paul encouraged Timothy there to say that one of the things that a pastor needs to be mindful of is this. He has been given the watch care over the flock. He is to care for the church of God. He's to take care of the church of God. Now, folks, I want you to know something this morning. I can joke a lot about a lot of things, and I love humor. But there's one thing that I must take very seriously. That is that God has given you to me, and actually given me to you. He has married us together with a responsibility that the pastors, not just me, Pastor Matt, Pastor Tim, all of us who are your staff, he has given us the privilege and the high responsibility to take care of you. That is an awesome responsibility. It is a difficult responsibility. When I say take care of, there are many things that a pastor is called to do. But of all the things that you think a pastor may be called to do, the primary responsibility according to the Word of God for the man of God, the pastor of God, it is to preach the Word of God. And if you pray for us as your pastor, for any of your pastors, the chief prayer we ask you to pray for us is this, that when we are given the opportunity, that we stand and we preach the Word of God. We preach the Word of God. You say, Pastor, everybody that I hear stands and preaches the Word of God, then you're not listening very well. In today's world, there are a lot of people standing behind pulpits who are preaching, but they're not preaching the Word of God. We are called to preach the Word. So here's what Paul says to Timothy. Timothy, knowing that apostasy is coming to the church, knowing that in the last days perilous times are going to come, Timothy, knowing that people will be needing desperately, as they always have, the Word of God in their life, here's what I charge you with in verse 1 of chapter 4. Timothy, I charge you, I solemnly witness today to you. Therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, the living, and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the Word. Preach the Word. I'm going to stop there for just a moment. I hope I'm going to be able to assist and help the next pastor, whoever he may be in this church. I'm glad he did not say, Timothy, the first thing you're to do is to care for the sick. Now, some of you are going to say, Pastor, you need to care for the sick. I love the sick and I want to care for the sick, but my first responsibility is not to care for the sick. Hello? Can I please get at least an amen? Pastor, that should have said, make sure that you visit everybody that is on the shut-in list. I'm thankful that while I love our shut-ins deeply, and they know that, and I do visit them, that my primary responsibility is not to visit the shut-ins. And yet, many of you think it is. Matter of fact, all I got to do is get your phone call. Pastor, Susie's been sick for 18 days, and you ain't been to see her. Well, probably I didn't know Susie was sick. Or your other staff. But that's not the primary responsibility. And yet when you hear churches complaining about the pastor, their complaints are always over those kinds of things. When they ought to be complaining if that man is not doing his primary responsibility, that is to preach the Word of God. And we're going to see that that doesn't just happen. If you think a preacher just picks up the Bible and starts preaching, then he's not very worthy of his calling. Because preaching doesn't just happen. So he says, I solemnly charge you, Timothy, before God as a witness who's going to judge both the living and the dead, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. I want to take our time this morning, spend the next few minutes with you, encouraging you, challenging you to understand the huge responsibility that every pastor has to spend the time to prepare to preach the Word of God. And as we preach, there are some things that you ought to pray for your pastors. There are three things I want to talk about this morning that as pastors preach, some things that you ought to pray for your pastor. The first one is this. You need to pray that the pastor will preach understanding what I call the accountability factor. The accountability factor. Preach with accountability. You see, the first thing we have to discuss is what is preaching? Preaching is not just an oratorical experience where I get up and talk and you listen. That's not preaching. Preaching is not just someone speaking something to us. No, when he uses the word preach, it is the word that is taken directly from the word that means to herald, to announce. To announce, to bring a message. We are called to preach the word of God. We're bringing the message of God to the people. Not our message, the message of God to the people. In this day and time, those who were important, many who were governmental leaders, especially kings and those who led nations, countries, they had a particular person who would go out when they had a particular message to give to the people. And it would sort of be like this. That person called a herald would go out and proclaim to the people. They'd send an announcement that he's going to share a message, an announcement from the king. And it'd be something like this. Hear ye, and everybody's listening. Not to his message. He's there to bring a direct message from the one in charge, the one who sent it, to the people. He is the heralder, the announcer, the one who brings the message. We are not the ones who, quote, write the message. The message has been written for a long time. It's settled. You see, here's the big problem we have. Some people haven't gotten past that. The message is settled in heaven. The message is settled in heaven. We can't change and write a new message. This is the message from God. We are called to announce, to herald, to preach this message from Genesis to Revelation. Every bit of this book called the Word of God. That is what we're called to do. That's when preaching takes place. A person can get up and talk about a lot of stuff, and people get up and talk about a lot of stuff today. I hear them all the time. I don't understand why some people even take the label of a pastor, of a preacher, when all they do is give self-help. Listen, if I want to go hear somebody to get self-help, I'll visit some of you guys. I want to know, what does the Word of God say about something? And the reason the church is in a mess today and the reason families are in a mess today is preachers have quit preaching the truth of the Word of God. Now, while we have a huge responsibility to preach the Word of God, you have a responsibility to heed the Word of God, to hear and to heed the Word of God. So preaching is when we proclaim or herald or announce the Word of God. That's why it's important that we have the Word of God before us, that we take the Word of God as it is written, as it is given to us. That's why most of us like to preach expositorily. I'd love to. You just don't know. I'm glad God sees my heart and he knows. There are a lot of pastors that I would like to take for just a month and say, I challenge you to preach expositorily through the Word of God. They'd say, well, wait a minute, I can't hardly do that. I want to preach topically. Just there's nothing wrong with a topical message. Sometimes we need to preach topically. But when we're preaching topically, that means we get to pick the subject. But when we're preaching expositorily, that means we're going from one verse to the next verse to the next verse. And we can't skip over the stuff that we'd like to skip over. And here's why. We're going to see that the day is going to come. I personally believe the day is here when there's a lot of stuff that people sitting in the pews wants us to skip over. And so we give them what they want. But we're called to preach the word. Now, my first point was this. We need to preach with accountability. What that means is this. God one day will hold me. This is an awesome thought for me. As a matter of fact, it's hard to even stand when I say this. You don't know this, but my knees are nervous right now. And my heart is beating fast right now. Because every word I proclaim to you, one day I will stand before God to give an account. Not you, not the deacons, had somebody recently come and said, did you see that in the new job description it says that the pastor is accountable to the deacons? Well, we all need to be accountable to somebody. But it wouldn't put there from the standpoint that we have to pay an account to the deacons. It meant that we work closely together to lead the church. I'm not going to give an account to you one day. But one day I'm going to stand before a holy God. That's why Paul said, Timothy, I charge you before God, who is going to judge the living and the dead at his appearing, at the appearing of Christ. I'm going to stand to give an account. And I better be sure that when I stand before God, that I have done my best to preach the word, because God will hold me accountable to that. I need to preach with accountability. I need to understand that I do not need to have to worry about man. One of the greatest things that pastors deal with today is so many fear what man thinks of them. I like that the scripture makes it very clear. Our accountability is not with man, it is with God. And only those men, as we approach the last days, listen, I'm not saying this for me. I'm saying this for any pastor. Only those men who are going to have a fruitful ministry as we approach the last days and as we live in the last days are those who understand that they're accountable to God, and when they're accountable to God, it gives them liberty to preach the word of God without fear of man. I know this for a fact, folks. I'm not saying this for me, but I'm glad that when Pastor Tim stands, he's going to preach the same kind of message, or if Matt stands, he's going to preach the same kind of message. That is this: we cannot change the word of God. We're accountable to preach the truth of the word of God, knowing that we're going to give an account to him one day. That's why we can't change the word of God to fit what people sitting in the pews want to hear. There are people who get up and leave all the time. I had somebody telling me, teasing, I'm going to be gone a month this morning. He said, I'm going to be gone a month. I'm not going to call any names, but he's a big, tall guy, bald-headed Hoyt England's who it is. But I won't call any names. He said, Pastor, I want you to know I'm going to be gone for about a month to England. They're going to visit their son, he and Carolyn. He said, but you didn't run me off. Did you know there are a lot of people who leave when the preacher understands that he doesn't fear man and he preaches the truth about the word of God all the time? He knows people are going to leave, but he can't fear that. He can't fear that. He must preach the truth of the word of God. Whatever God's word says, we must declare it. And we're going to talk about that more in detail later. So we preach with accountability, knowing that one day God will hold us accountable, the one who will judge all of us. Secondly, not only should we preach with accountability, this goes along with that. According to Paul here to Timothy, we need to preach with authority. He says, preach the word of God. We said preaches the, when he says to preach the word of God, that is a word that has authority. That's what God has given to us. You see, when we preach the word of God, it has all of the power of heaven behind it. We're preaching what God has given us, not what we have. We have the authority of the word of God. Now, every pastor ought to be able to stand. And sometimes there are areas where people say, well, you didn't understand that right or whatever. We can have those debates. But we better be sure that our hearts are clear, our conscience is clear, that as best as we understand the word of God, that we know that one day we're going to stand before God, and we need to be able to say, thus saith the word of God, not the word of man. This is what God's word says about a matter. And we preach with that authority, unapologetically, unashamedly, with humility, and with boldness. We preach the word of God. We herald it out. I love what one person said. I don't remember who it was as I was studying this week. Said this: preachers are called to preach the word of God, to announce the word of God, not negotiate the word of God. Now, some of you won't like this at all, but I'm going to say it anyway. Matter of fact, we had to, many years ago, and I'm starting to date myself when I start saying many years ago. We're starting to get older. Many years ago, when I first came to the state of Michigan, 27 years ago, I didn't understand the culture of Michigan at all, the climate of Michigan at all. I'm not talking about the outside being cold. I knew it was cold. I picked up on that real quick, and I knew it snowed and those kind of things. But I'm talking about the spiritual climate. And so I had to sit down with some leaders in our state convention. Finally, the state convention had a conference on this. Because of, and please take this in the context in which I'm going to say it, understand what I'm trying to say here, because we live in a culture in the North, especially here in Michigan, that is driven by the union, everything is to be negotiated. Look at me. Nod your heads. Let me see him bob. And I had to, I'm like, what in the world is going on? And finally, an old director of missions and a state missions director sat down with me and said, Pastor, you don't understand. You're in Michigan. Everything is negotiable. If you're going to ask for something, you've got to be willing to give something. Well, that may sound really good in the world in which you live, but when it comes to God's economy, it doesn't work that way. Thus saith the word of the Lord. We give it, you take it, or you leave it. We're not here to negotiate the word of God. We're here to announce the word of God. We either live by it or we don't live by it. We either believe it is true or we don't believe it is true. We're not here to water it down. We're not here to make it sound easy. We're not here to make you feel comfortable. People say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I brought a friend. They felt so uncomfortable. I say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We are not here to make church comfortable. Church ought to be a place where the word of God is preached so that when it hits my heart, listen, this morning when we began to sing, my sins, they are many. His mercy is more. All I could see in my life was the blackness of sin. Were it not for knowing that the Word of God says that my sins can be totally forgiven, I would have felt hopeless. So we don't preach a message and say, take it or leave it, leaving it there. We give them the hope that no matter where you are and what you feel today, there's a God who can forgive and give you hope for the future and erase your thoughts and cause you to think differently. He can renew your mind, all those lies that you've been given. The Bible says by the Spirit of God, He can take that and He changed you, did He not? There are some moms, listen, there are some women sitting out here who felt the sting of abortion and the pain of abortion. I don't say that with any pride. They hurt more than anybody. But if you talk to those who've been delivered by the power of God, they'll take that stage and they'll be able to tell those who are contemplating taking a life to say, listen, by the grace of God, He has so much more for you. You see, when the Word of God is given and proclaimed, and that's just one example. Those of us who've been addicted to drugs and alcohol can literally say to someone, because there's power in the blood of Jesus, He can cleanse you and change you. We don't have to make a pretty word for it. We don't have to make up a word and say, all you need is that. No, no. What you need is a changed life by the power of a holy God. A power of, listen, we're here knowing that we are preaching something that has power. Thus saith the word of God, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things can pass away and will pass away, and all things become new. What we need today and what you need to pray for more than anything, Russ, what I'm praying for this team that you're working with is this, that they will find the man of God who will come and preach the word of God with the authority of God behind it, not him. You can vote us out anytime you want to, folks. Matter of fact, you can tell me this morning if you want to. You can call a special meeting and say, Pastor, we don't need you anymore. That's great. That's fine. Matter of fact, can we call a special meeting? I'm just teasing you. My point is this. I hope the next person that follows me will stand and preach the same word I preached. With authority. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach with accountability. Preach with authority. And then preach with urgency. We had a humorous time in the office this week. I was talking to Matt and Tim. I think Matt and Tim were both together with me, and I'm not sure if Lucas was around or not, but we were talking, and I love to preach using, the same word. What's that word anyway? Alliteration. And I said, man, I've searched everywhere. I've got accountability and I've got authority, but I can't find another synonym for urgency that starts with an A. I just couldn't. And I thought, man. So I said, well, I'll just give them the word. We are to preach with urgency. Listen, here's what I know this morning, without a doubt. This may be the last time I have to preach the word of God to you. Maybe it. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? You're going to die? Well, I might, but you might too. But that's not the urgency that the writer talks about here. Paul talks about. Paul says, preach with urgency because there's coming a time when people won't listen. They won't want to hear. For the time will come, he says, when they will heap for themselves teachers. Teachers with itchy ears. Preachers who will listen to what the people say they want to hear. And they won't preach sound doctrine, they'll preach what the people want to hear. You see, we preach with urgency because I know that the day is coming, if it hasn't, and I believe it has, because I preach all the time, and most people aren't listening. And if they listen for a little while, we're fortunate, because they're not going to listen, many of them, long, because they're going to go somewhere where they can hear what they want to hear. And we preach with urgency, knowing that today, this moment may be the last moment I have to share the truth of the Word of God with you, but it may also be the last moment you have to receive that Word. So we preach it with urgency, with humility, with boldness, knowing that the time will come in the church when the church, listen, this is a sad thing, but this is the truth. This is where apostasy is going to take the church, where the church will be no more than any other club in the community. We'll have our place, our membership, and we'll gather and we'll hear what we want to hear because we dictate what needs to be heard. We've negotiated the message rather than announce the message, so we know, so we all come. We all like being together. We love what the preacher had to say. We clap, we say amen, we go home, and we live the way we want to live. Then we come back together and have our club again the next week. We all assemble together. Paul says, preach, Timothy, with urgency, for the time will come when they will not hear sound doctrine. They just won't. Many of the churches of America today are condoning things that we would have never thought they would have condoned. They're supporting things that we would have never thought we would be supporting. And we are not exempt. We must be faithful to preach the truth of the Word of God, knowing that it's with urgency, and we must not waver on that. It's sad that I say this. We as a church and we as a convention of Southern Baptist churches are one of the few denominations that still stands firm on the Word of God when it comes to life, sexuality, carnality, read all the other doctrinal statements. Read what many support and believe. Why? Because people don't want to be offended. How dare you tell me that God made man and woman? How dare you tell me that there's just male and female? How dare you tell me that I'm supposed to be this sexuality when I can change and be this sexuality? How dare you tell me, thus saith the word of the Lord? You see, people don't like that. You say, Pastor, but wait a minute, are we to offend? Remember, it's not my message. And take that up with God. Because just like I started this message, I will stand one day before a holy God and give an accounting of what I preach. You will stand one day and give an accounting of how you respond and what you believe. You're going to say, but Pastor, you don't understand. That's my son. That's my daughter. I do understand. I got sons and daughters. But Pastor, it's hard. Yes, it's hard. That's why Jesus said when he came, those that follow me, it will divide mothers from fathers and fathers from sons and daughters from family. I came not, listen, it's words of Jesus. I came not that everybody would come. I came to bring division. Listen, the gospel divides. You say, Pastor, I can't believe you. The gospel divides. You cannot follow Jesus. You cannot follow the Savior, the one who died on the cross for the gross immoral sin that many are committing today and embrace those sins. You can't do it. It's impossible. It's impossible. It is not possible. And yet many churches are calling the pastor and the church to embrace that when we are called to preach the word with accountability, with authority, and with urgency. This morning, if you are here and you're separated from God by your sin, and you are, and you've never trusted in Christ who died for your sin, I've got good news. The bad news is that you're lost and on your way to the devil's hell. That's the bad news. And it even gets worse because you can't do anything to change it. You can't fix it. You can't get good because you're bad and you can't get good. You can't be good. You can't do good. You're bad. Your nature is, you can't fix it. But here's the gospel. Here's the word of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his son. He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for you and for me, and all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's good news. If you're here today, thus saith the word of God for you. As a follower of God, if you've trusted in his grace, if your sins have been forgiven, I challenge you to live life with urgency, obedient to the truths of Scripture, obedient to a life worth being associated with Christ for his glory.
If this broadcast has affected your life today, or if you have any questions about anything that you have heard, please feel free to write us at info@mmbconline.org or like and comment on our Facebook page. This has been Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Have a blessed day.